following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
House of Prayer Ministries continue to bring the message of the unadulterated gospel all over the globe. From the United States to Russia, from Latin America to Europe, we are a church committed to the preservation of biblical principles.
To the House of Prayer in America, you prayed for us. You thank you so much for your prayer.
Anytime out of prayer, pray they are encouraged and blessed. You deposited in us a spirit of evangelism which grew like fire.
You will see us at hospitals, nursing homes, and homeless shelters, at food banks, orphanages, and prisons. We're actively ministering in our communities and everywhere we go. With affiliates across all continents.
This is Levi Newman, reporting live from Jerusalem.
It was just a blessing to be able to be somewhere else and just be able to witness to people and pray in a different country.
When they first built the church in Mexico, they go out.
And not only Mexico, but Brazil.
There are men and women all throughout El Salvador that long for the missionaries, the brethren, to come back to see them again because they saw something different.
With affiliates across all continents, we faithfully encourage pastors, workers, and congregations in churches and synagogues in many countries.
Every time that he was preaching, he would call me. He said, "Hey, you and your church, I need y'all to pray for me." He didn't have nobody else to pray for him.
We are a church without prejudices. We are a church without boundaries. And we are a church of all nations. Welcome to God's Heritage, the Women's Hour. This broadcast is dedicated to a virtuous young lady, to Moriah Michelle Dennis. On our last broadcast, we looked at the beginning of the conquest of Canaan in the book of Joshua. We emphasized the account of Rahab and pointed out how Rahab did not have to lie. However, that was the only thing her life could produce. Matthew 7 plainly states that every tree is known by its fruit. She needed a metamorphosis, that is, to become a totally new creation. Only then she would produce the right fruit. Nevertheless, she was saved by her works of faith. Through her determination, she entered into a covenant with the Lord and His people. Her obedience to the covenant, symbolized by that cord of crimson thread, became her hope of salvation, which materialized at last. Tonight, we will examine the mental disposition and the behavioral patterns that brought Joshua and the people to victory and to defeat. We will see that power belongs to God alone and how we can be truly spiritual by simply exercising ourselves in the truth onto godliness instead of exerting ourselves in some attempt to invoke a preternatural power. True spiritual maturity has very little to do with the supernatural, as the following scriptures will prove.
Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31.
1 Timothy 4 and 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather under godliness.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5 and 14.
Discernment is of the utmost importance, especially when reading the scriptures. Joshua chapter 6 closes by saying, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." Everything seemed to be going great. I mean, Jericho had been quite a fortress, and now it was a ruinous heap. Nothing can stop them now. After all, the Lord himself told them that no one would be able to stand against them, didn't he?
But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua 7 and 1.
In chapter 7, someone didn't take God seriously. Achan thought he could get away with taking something that was forbidden. He totally disregarded that God was watching all along. He knows every action, thought, and intent of our heart. This is not AI-powered surveillance. But think about it. If man can come up with a system that can know where everyone is at all times, how much more God? We live in a time when people do not fear God. Yes, God is love. But we must not forget that he is also the all-consuming fire. According to scripture, there is a part of God that is dreadful and revengeful. Even Jesus, as he was walking up to Calvary, said, "Weep not for me, weep for your children." After he fulfilled what was written concerning him, history records his vengeance upon all of those who crucified him. Let us not forget that although he is meek and lowly, he is also judgment and wrath. The lamb already came. The lion is coming. It won't be long, and he will roar. This is why the Bible tells us, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." In the end, it will pay if we fear God and keep his commandments. After all, this is our duty. So here we are. The overconfident tribes failed to inquire of the Lord and went ahead with their own battle plan. They went out to war without even acknowledging God. And they ended up running away from the enemy. About 36 lives were lost, while Achan was still alive and well. He knew it was because of him that God's protection had been removed from the nation. Still, he thought he could get away with it. Then Joshua goes to lament before the Lord, along with the elders of Israel, until the evening. When he finally speaks, he blames God for what happened. It is a difficult thing to face our shortcomings, our inadequacies, and our sins. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, our natural instinct is to hide, cover, and blame God or each other. In the garden, no one was at fault. When questioned, the man said, "The woman you gave me, God." The woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." And the serpent was such a liar that God was not going to waste time questioning him or her. Whatever it was, the Bible doesn't say. Furthermore, we find no record at all whatsoever of any of them ever saying, "I'm sorry," or asking for help, or pleading for mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, will always bring us back to the place we failed, will give us that same familiar test. And guess what? He wants us to pass the test this time.
I came to the first conference at 14, and I knew that I was already on the wrong path, but coming to the conference, I saw everyone with all the joy and the happiness, and I just realized that these people are really trying to make it to heaven. And I gave my life to God. I was like, I know that I can do this, because, you know, going to other churches growing up, it just didn't seem real, you know, but it was a real blessing to me to be able to come. And I knew that it was the least that I could do, especially because I had just been spared. My life had just been spared. And I knew that I wasn't going to make it to heaven. I knew that I was on the wrong road. Shortly before the conference, I had had a bad accident riding around with my friends. It was my first time actually going out with a bunch of teenagers. And we ended up having a really bad car accident on the highway. The car flipped, and I ended up getting hurt. I injured my hand severely and other things, and I was the only one to get hurt out of the group. There was 7 of us in a 5-seater vehicle. I had to have many surgeries and skin grafts, and was in the hospital for a while, and finally I was able to get out of the hospital, but still would have to go back and to get further surgeries and different things. It was a real blessing, because shortly after my accident, my sister had put a prayer request in for me at a Saturday fellowship meeting, and everyone prayed for me, and even some of the sisters and even the pastor and his wife, they came up to visit me different times, and they were just really there for me right from the beginning. Later, the same doctor that did the surgeries, I was able to go back to have him check my hand again. It was 7 years at that time. I was 21 now, and went to go see him, and he was very excited just to see the progress and the recovery, and he was just, it was really a blessing. But I know that it was the prayers of the saints and everyone helping me along the way. And all of it turned out to be a blessing for me. I count the accident a blessing because it stopped me right in my tracks. I was on the wrong road, and it helped me to realize that life is short. And as I came to church, I began to realize that serving the Lord in the days of your youth is really the best decision that you can make, because you can be here today and then gone tomorrow. And I can look back now and say I have 21 years by God's grace and mercy without smoking and drinking and partying and all of that. You know, just coming to church really changed my life. Others that I know are still out there doing those things, and maybe even the ones that were in a car accident with me. But I can say that giving my life to God and coming to church and staying in church has really been a blessing for me. Being on that path and just being on the wrong road and not having a whole lot of, I guess you could say, help and guidance, because at that time my family wasn't really in church. Looking back now, I understand they didn't have much to offer me. But now being here, it's been a real blessing, because now I have my son here. And I'm just thankful that now I can, like the Bible says, train up your child in the way that they should go. Like, he now I can give him something that, in a sense, that I wasn't given. And it's just a real blessing to be able to, you know, be there for him and to be able to tell him, hey, you don't have to go this route or you don't have to do that. That you can give your life to God and God can help you. That God can be our all in all.
Thank God when difficulties lead us to prayer. The unfortunate defeat at Ai brought Joshua and the people back to where they needed to be. As Joshua prayed, his unfounded complaint was totally disregarded. The Lord went straight to the point. There is sin in the camp. Then he gave them the solution. How often we create our own problems, only to place the blame elsewhere, and ultimately run to God for help and reprieve. What we find is that he ignores our unwarranted frenzy, goes straight to the real cause of the problem, and to the solution.
Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Joshua 7 and 12.
Noticed how he said, except ye destroy. Things that are physical, things that are within our reach and within our means, God expects us to remove them from our lives. After all, they only cause us harm. Tragically, it is here that many proceed no further in their experience with God. When they see there is no supernatural happening, they turn away from the honest effort the Bible enjoins. Undoubtedly, power belongs to God. But unless we want God to make us robots, we must exercise our free moral agency to do the right thing. This lavish compliance to rigid forms of religion will never do. But the willful, cheerful yielding to that which is right can get us where we need to go. Think about it. Why did Paul go through such extreme lengths to maintain a clean conscience, even though he was able to perform miracles and healings? Didn't he magically become good after he met Christ? The answer is no. Paul was given the revelation that he had been wrong all along and was committed with the dispensation of the gospel to the Gentiles. As he went on to fulfill his mission, he did not disregard that he had to make sure his own soul was ready for eternity. From his teachings and the teachings of the other apostles, we can soundly gather that true spirituality is to exercise ourselves in the truth, in selflessness, and in righteousness, willingly. I highly encourage you to read the Bible for yourself, so you can see that what I am saying to you is truth. We must not be deceived by philosophy, psychology, pseudoscience, and especially by lying wonders. We have to be sound-minded, live in reality, and exercise common sense and true discernment. The magic-like approach of Christianity and performing the supernatural will not qualify anyone to enter into heaven. Listen to the following passage of Scripture.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 through 24. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock.
God forbid I ever hear him say, you spent so much time writing a broadcast, but no time in introspection and prayer. I know we've taken long on this topic, and my words have been far from flattering. However, I must not fail to give you the love of the truth. Our nature instinctively drifts toward alluring, flattering words. The dramatic demonstration of power and superhuman ability. The supernatural seems so appealing, doesn't it? Besides, to live in reality can be depressing, especially to the modernized, weakened mind. In Joshua chapter 7, the tedious process of going from tribe to tribe, family clan to family clan, and then from man to man became painfully necessary for them. God already knew who, what, why, when, and how. But as Achan played Catch Me If You Can, the congregation was learning yet another lesson. Achan followed the pattern of Adam and Eve. He had to be found out. The confession was made only after he was caught. After the painful experience of facing their problems head on and making things right with God, the Lord encouraged Joshua and restored favor to the nation.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land.
The city of Ai was destroyed, and this time God let them keep the spoil. We never want to take what God doesn't approve of. But make no mistake, God takes very good care of his children. The conquest had just begun, and there were many victories ahead. Nevertheless, it was meet for them to stop and have a revival of reading the Word of God. Here they had learned one more lesson. Although the greatness of God's power is unmatched, his divine favor and protection are absolutely conditional to the adherence of his prescribed way. Next broadcast, we will move much faster through the chapters in the book. We will take an overview of the rest of the conquest of Canaan and behold the great things God can do with a willing people. Can we stay humble after we receive the blessings? God, please give us the humility to handle your blessings. Let us remain thankful and faithful. This broadcast was dedicated to Moriah Michelle Dennis, virtuous, strong, humble, sincere, and wise, and thus a possessor of divine favor and protection. Glory be to God. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our International Prayer Request Line. It is available toll-free in several languages. There is someone standing by 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-833-772-9482. That's 1-833-772-9482. And see the difference prayer can make in your life.